Blog Talk Radio.
Coming to you since 1997 on KKUP Radio with over 250 guests and still going strong in their 12th year of weekly broadcasting, the International Taz and Paula Show brings to you expansive, engaging, and groundbreaking intensity on radio and now on the internet airwaves today. Listen live every Thursday or visit Embracing Mother Earth's archives, exclusive articles, ask questions, and receive actual answers from guests anytime at TazAndPaulaShow.com. Taz and Paula's special guests are experts coming from all walks of life, energizing our lives with a passion that inspires and teaches us with each of their compelling personal life journeys, with roots from ancient wisdom and bridging it with modern science. We hope today's show touches the wisdom of your heart. And now, Taz and Paula.
Can anyone activate your own inner guidance system for you? Well, our guest, Christine Hoflick, says, no, this is not possible. And you must do this for yourself. And I agree. And that's because your higher self would never be in a million years cheat you out of the incredible experience of doing this for yourself. If you don't experience this firsthand, you will not know who you really are. So it's time to awaken. You are now listening to the International Taz and Paula Show, and I'm Paula.
And I'm Taz. In 1985, a colleague at Christine Hoflick's first engineering job after college told Christine that he was an intuitive and that at some point in the future she would help a lot of people by doing something new. And she began searching for this new thing, but it wasn't until 15 years later when she began to experience a grand slam of a life crisis. And did she begin to find her calling? Well, in 2001, through a channel named Flo Magdalena, she began to work with the Council of Light, who reminded her of her original mission to explain to humanity how things work here. The results of several years of work are two books, What Everyone Believed, a memoir of intuition and awakening, which is a hardcover book, and another book, Activating 2012, a practical guide for navigating 2012 with confidence and clarity. And that's an ebook. That sounds pretty good to me. Christine did not merely take the channeled material from the Council of Light and publish it as it was. She questioned it, tested it, made it practical, and optimized it, just as one would expect from a process and research engineer, of course. Through their messages and the amazing events that transpired once she committed to her purpose, she then was able to offer an understanding of life from the perspective of the higher self. Her books are practical guides for how to reconnect to and integrate with your higher self as quickly and as easily as possible. Yes, integrating with your higher self is the way to shift the consciousness.
Christine has bachelor's in materials science and engineering from the Cornell University and a master's in environmental studies from San Jose State University. She is clear that her education supplied her with the perfect combination of skills required for fulfilling her life purpose. It was her materials science and engineering professor's comment, which I really love, who guided her life. And what his comment was, you're attending an engineering college, but you're a scientist first, and when you leave this university, you will not know the answer to everything, but you will know where to find it. Her experiences since have allowed her to learn and thus be able to teach the entire process for shifting your consciousness and transforming your life. She lives in San Francisco Bay Area, and we are so lucky to have her so close to us. Welcome, Christine. We love having you here with us today.
Thank you very much, Taz and Paula. Can you hear me?
Yes, perfectly.
Oh, great.
Your background is... go ahead.
Can you hear her, Paula, too?
Yes.
Okay. Well, you know, your background is in materials engineering, Christine. What got you interested in the topics of high purpose, the higher purpose, and the shift in consciousness?
Well, as you had explained, my first job was in an electronic firm that manufactured precision crystal resonators. And a colleague at that company, after he got to know me enough so that he can trust me with his personal stuff, he told me that he was an intuitive and that he knew that sometime in the future I'd help a lot of people by doing something new. And this was enough to get me interested in searching for what this new thing was. But I wasn't able to find it, and I kind of forgot about it over the years. And it wasn't until, 15 years later, around 2000, 2001, when I began to experience a profound shift in my awareness. And this is because I found myself in a serious life crisis, and I began to seriously search for the answers. I had no choice. And part of this was that I participated in a soul recognition workshop led by Flo Aivia Magdalena in 2001. And this is when people in the workshop also came up to me and they said that I have something within me that needed to be shared. And I got a reading from Flo and the Council of Light. She was channeling the Council of Light. They said that I would write books that would help explain the way things work on this planet. Now, at the time I was told this, I had no idea what I had within me. I had no idea what I was to write about. And it was like, wow, this sounds good. That sounds really cool, but I have no idea what you're talking about. It was because I was in this crisis, and I needed to find answers that I was willing to go through with this, because I was kind of desperate. And so I committed to doing this project, and slowly, over many months, I got the ball rolling, and so to speak, and my first book, What Everyone Believed, A Memoir of Intuition Awakening, turned out to be a memoir of my reconnecting process, written mostly in real time. That's present time, not years after the experience. And this is what will help other people to see, you know, this is what worked for me. Written at present time, not years later, what I thought I did that worked.
Yeah, it's really funny. A lot of people that are awakened, they seem to go through a crisis first.
Yes.
And do you think this is our higher self saying that we are not, that we need to shift?
Yes, definitely. It's a way that our higher self uses for us to get back in touch with our higher self, but also crisis is a way that it's actually like a catalyst to finding what your unique contribution and what your hidden gifts are for that you are to contribute to this worldwide shift.
So this must be really, you know, everyone kind of feels this, Christine. We just don't know what it is at the time it's kind of hit us, you know. But, you know, that's what makes us pay attention, obviously, when we feel this crisis and this, you know, you just have to step back and you have to begin searching, you know. It's pretty incredible.
Mm-hmm.
Excuse me. And let me just kind of go back in. Can you tell us a little bit, like, what kind of individual you were when you were younger? Did you ever anticipate writing or going into any of these areas, or did you find yourself thinking on another level that you can correlate with what you do today?
Yes, I tried to write, but I was mainly frustrated. I tried to write in a journal, and many times I would try to write, and I'd write a few pages, and then I'd rip the pages out, and I'd throw the book away, and I went through many empty books that way. And so I kind of gave up. I gave up on my writing. I felt like, you know, you can't write. And it wasn't until this crisis and other people telling me that, yeah, you're going to write, that I considered doing this.
So
and it was
you
only
were...
because... Yeah, and
I thought... When you... Go ahead.
Well, as who I was, as I was the oldest of six kids. I was helped my I was born in Poland, and I was very independent. I helped a lot of I helped my parents with whatever they were dealing with because they couldn't speak the language. So I learned very quickly, and that's probably because I had to, and that's probably my gift here, is I learn things very quickly, and then I can help other people.
So how old were you when you can relate to this connection here?
I knew that I was questioning things, even things that my parents would tell me when I was like 4 and 5 years old. And started to really question not only my parents, but by the time I was 7, I was questioning in my own mind, not like outright, but I would question doctors and other, you know, like, why is that doctor saying that? So, yeah. But then, you know, I went really left-brained, and that was my path for a long time.
Well, and I think being put in charge of the oldest of six, it was almost like you were in the, and your parents not speaking English, that put you in the parental role where you needed to question, or you felt like you needed to question. So this is probably good for your future path.
Yes, everything. Everything was kind of perfect. And this is not just true for me. It's true for everybody. We're all put into special situations that are going to bring out our gifts, and right now is the time.
Do you think
that's
the veils
a beautiful
are?
Statement.
Do you think the veils are lifting so that more of us can get in touch with our higher self?
Yes, definitely, and What I wanted to say is that, like, over the course of several years, I had received, through Flo Aivia Magdalena, about a dozen channeled messages from the Council of Light. And the information was, to me, very confusing and abstract, and as most channeled information is. And what I had to do is to make it more concrete and understandable from the perspective of an earth being. And my background helped me do that.
Now, who exactly is the Council of Light?
The Council of Light, as I understand them, are beings in the higher realm that are responsible for this earth experiment. And Flo Aivia has this definition for them, that they're a 12-member board of directors responsible for directing the earth experience. And they also help souls plan their life plans and their growth experiences before the souls incarnate on the earth.
Wow.
So I don't know if you're familiar with Robert Schwartz. He is the author of a book called Your Soul's Plan.
No, I'm not. I don't know if Taz is.
Okay.
No,
He wrote a very interesting book where he described the higher plans, the soul's plans of 10 or 12 different people. And he had people go into like a deep hypnosis and had mediums channel their life plans. So he also helps people get connected to their higher, to their life plans.
So how did you get connected with the Council of Light?
This, when I did this course back in 2001, when I knew I had to do something, I signed up for this workshop that was led by Flo Aivia Magdalena. It was a soul recognition workshop, and I decided to get some one-on-one guidance because she had mentioned that she was channeling the Council of Light, and I did that, and then I received like about a dozen channelings about my purpose over the course of a few years. And as I was doing my life plan, they would, you know, it would every year or so I would have like two or three sessions with them, and they would guide me what I was going to do next.
Wow.
Were you able to, because you're saying that you went with Flo, but were you able to connect with him on your own after a bit?
Yes. What happened was the sessions pretty much stopped, and she mainly stopped channeling for other people around 2005, and that's when my sessions ended. But by that point, I felt so confident in where I was going and in interacting and in receiving guidance from my own higher self that I didn't need to hear anything from other people. And that was the last time I had a formal channeling from them for me.
So what you're teaching people, will they be skipping that step of having someone be the go-between?
Yes. What I teach people is what to do in order to connect to your higher self. There's a couple meditations that are important. There's it's not just like any meditation. It's a meditation designed specifically to connect your heart with your soul. And that is like your present time with your infinite self, your heart representing your present time, your present life, and your soul representing your infinite life or your higher self. And so that helps you connect it. And once you, I help them recognize the messages from your higher self, and once you receive inner guidance and intuition, then you follow through with it. And when you follow through with it, in many cases, you are going to get, often within a short period of time, something amazing is going to happen. Like, wow, something that the universe is going to show you, either a new insight or something happens. You place yourself into a situation where it something favorable happens in your life plan, and you're going to say, wow, okay, so that's how I do it. I follow through with my intuition, my inner guidance, and this happened, and it helps you. So next time that you get inner guidance, it helps you to do the next thing, and then you get to a point where you get so connected that you will follow your inner guidance even when you have everybody else is telling you that you're doing the wrong thing, you know, even a panel of experts in their field. And this is where I had to get to. Like, everybody was saying, you know, everybody in my own environment, my family, my home, was saying that you know, what are you doing? You're, like, totally off. And I had to build up the courage to go forward, even when I had all these people who were not supporting it.
Wow, it's pretty amazing, you know, to feel that, too. It's so frustrating when people have that push and pull energy from a family or someone that they kind of, you know, want to keep this real close connection to, and yet they have to split off and they really have to go their own path. It's like it's what's right for them, you know.
So yes, and it is hard, but it also turned out to be the right thing. But because I had learned from these people who were being unsupportive and in some cases even, you know, showing adversity, mm-hmm. I had learned some amazing things. So it's like, again, pointing to crisis being the catalyst for your biggest gifts.
When you say you learned some amazing things, do you want to share a couple of these things?
Well, I haven't prepared, like, let me try to remember an example. This was my husband. He had, it's been years since I thought about this. I don't think I can access this right now. I'm sorry.
That's okay. I just, you know, sometimes it's so...
it could be something, you know, very simple.
Yeah.
He once said that, because I have so many examples, it's just that it's been years, but he said he was going to take my daughter to swimming, and I had told him that I gave him some false information. I thought that he was going to take her the following weekend, but it was that weekend, and then it was my mistake that, you know, I got the dates wrong, and then I told him that I'm sorry, it's your turn to take her to swimming. He refused, and then he came, so I took her. He came late. She was, my daughter was getting on the, she was going to start her race. It was a race that she was participating in. She was going to start the race. He wasn't there yet because he was kind of angry with me. He came late after the race. So when she went and she started her race, the first race that she did when he wasn't present, she did really, I mean, she looked like she was swimming through molasses. I felt how she was swimming. It was like she was saying, "Where's Dad? Where's Dad?" And I'm like, "Dad, your dad usually, you know, makes it. Your dad is usually always on time. I don't know, something went wrong." And she was like swimming through molasses. And she came out of the water. She was so tired. Like she gave it everything she got, she said, but she just like did so poorly. The next race, her next race, he arrived, and it was like half an hour later. He was there. He was cheering her on. She actually shaved off 6 seconds of her time in the next race. And I'm like, wow. It's perfect that he didn't arrive for the first race, because I saw how you know, like when we support children, what a big difference it makes. So in the first race, when he wasn't there, she did, like, she was swimming through molasses. The second race, when he arrived, she was like she won her meet and shaved 6 seconds off of her time. And that was like, oh my God, this is what happens to children when we're supporting them, and it's really important that children are supported. And then that helped me learn later that it was perfect that he wasn't there, and I also learned that how to connect to yourself so that you feel supported even if you're not getting support from people on the outside. As an adult, you can make those choices.
So you could have been angry and upset, but you didn't do it that way. I mean, you processed it to be a lesson, and you learned from it.
Yeah, I processed it as a lesson because I saw the gift in him not being there. You know, I was kind of angry for a few seconds, and then I saw, like, you know, Christine, stop it. And then I was able to see the bigger gift in him doing what he was doing.
So we can look at everything that way. That makes
life
much
more
productive.
Thank you for sharing that. A lot of people can connect with that. You know, it's such an adrenal stir when something happens like that. You get so excited that you just absolutely, you can just do about anything, you know. And we all feel that molasses sometimes, at the stress that actually pulls the plug sometimes, and we don't function the best.
Yeah, and now I remember that is actually that. I remember sitting this was in Morgan Hill High School. After everybody left, I sat down and I processed this right there at the high school where the swimming meet was held. And I sat there and I started crying because I had processed all this. I got all these wonderful insights. And then that's when I started to see that, you know, he was there to teach me lessons, that he was going to be, you know, a pain in the ass, but I was supposed to learn from it. And from that point on, I saw him differently, and that shifted our relationship. And I began to approach anything that happened to me that was adverse in the future that way, which allowed me to get through things much easier.
Did you discuss this with him? Did you discuss the process that you actually went through and how you felt that it was a good lesson?
In a way I did, for however he was open to. And, so that was a good thing to do.
Now, how did you feel about your work?
He's not quite 100% behind it because I haven't because for him what it means to be successful is to have a lot more presence and a lot more affect a lot more people. Right now, I have a small list of people who read my articles and who buy my books, and I haven't really made it to, you know, bigger. And so he feels like, well, when is it going to happen?
Well, actually, you know what happened?
He's pushing me.
I read one of your articles, and that's what absolutely made me hurriedly go and ask if you would be with us, because it was priceless. And I mentally I can't pull it up in my brain what that area was, but I remember that's what brought me to you, to ask you to come and be with us on the show. So it was truly priceless, and I have to let people know, you know, just head to the section where they can pull up your information. And your website is whateveryonebelieved.com is
yes.
Christine's website. And believe me, Christine, it was, you know, such a gift to my soul to read what you had written.
Well, I have to say, getting books published is an accomplishment in itself.
Yeah.
People don't realize it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So be proud that your books are out there.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, in your books, do they go step by step how people can actually connect with their higher self?
Yes. My e-book, which people can get from my website, it's, again, I'll say it's What Everyone Believed, that's past tense, .com. And also, I have a free report that people can have if they want to sign up on my mailing list, and I send out once a week a new article to people, so you get the free report on how to, it's just a little summary of how to reconnect to your higher self. My ebook goes into detail, including examples of how to reconnect to your higher self. And it also not only gives you the step-by-steps for this, but also puts it in a larger context with regards to 2012 and shows you, helps you actually do the steps by giving you a bigger picture understanding so that people are not so afraid, so that they can see that this is actually a part of divine plan, because I believe that things are going to get worse on this planet before they get better. And so to help people get through all these crises, it will help to understand the larger process at work, the divine plan that's at work right now. And
go ahead.
One more thing. Yeah. My ebook is a distillation of my process. It's like a how-to book. And my memoir, my hardcover memoir that people can get from Amazon, that is my memoir of my reconnecting process. So there's a lot of details of what I went through, what I experienced. And so they're complementary, the books.
So how long does it take actually to learn how to this process of connecting?
So it varies, but once you do the steps in my ebook, it won't take long to get to see some results so that you become motivated to continue the process. By the process, I mean to get to a point where you would follow your inner guidance, even if the whole world was telling you that you were wrong. So it takes a while to gain that much confidence, but the way that you gain this confidence is by following through with your inner guidance and then having the universe bring to you amazing things and insights and putting yourself into favorable situations that forward your higher purpose. So it's like a positive feedback loop. And at some point, I don't know how long it'll take, you know, maybe a few months, you get to a point where you're like, no, I'm going to do this, even though my real estate agent or my doctor or my whatever says this.
It's like a tasty morsel.
Or my publisher or my book editor. Like my book editor, she was really, I had to get a new book editor because she told me that I needed to do things a certain way, and I told her that, well, no, this is a book on intuition, and I have to follow my intuition, and she did not like that. So,
so is she,
you know,
a left brain person?
she was in the book business for like 37 years, and this is the way they did things.
Yeah. Well, that takes a lot of strength. Yeah, it takes a lot of chutzpah to really say, no, this is going to be the way it is, because you just feel it in your soul, you know?
And yeah.
It becomes part of
you.
But
it wasn't that I just felt it in my soul. It was what I was doing for all these months was how my book was happening. I had gotten to a point where my book was writing itself, and I knew that if I was going to follow what she wanted me to do, it would just stop. I mean, I had gotten so far with doing what I was doing. I knew that I had to continue the process. I wasn't just blindly believing what I felt, what my feelings were, you know. I had lots of evidence by that point.
That's always helpful.
Yes.
Now, what is the significance of 2012?
I studied the astronomy of the 2012 alignment because a lot of the information that I saw out there was not really very accurate, and they would talk about alignment, but in order to really understand it, you have to actually look at what exactly is aligning with what. And so I got a lot of my information from a European University Astronomical Institute, and if you know what you're looking for, the astronomy shows you that we're in a 26,000 year cycle that the Earth is going through with respect to the galaxy or the galactic center. And there's a certain reference point on Earth that is shifting towards the galactic center, or in other words, towards galactic light in 2012. And so this means that roughly the last 13,000 years, this reference point, like the North Pole of the Earth, was pointed away from galactic center, away from the light, and which means that we've been living in the dark half of it for the last 13,000 years. And this cycle that I'm referring to is the cycle of the zodiac, and it's called the precession of the equinoxes. And we're now shifting back towards the galactic center and the galactic light, and we're becoming more conscious about our origins, about this galaxy, and about our galactic origins. And I discuss this and I illustrate this in my ebook, Activating 2012. And one thing that I want to add is that I don't believe that it is a coincidence that the Mayans planned their calendar to end at the same time as the end of this 26,000-year cycle. And I don't believe that they got their knowledge about this cycle because they had nothing better to do than to observe the night sky. There's nothing to observe about this cycle from the point of view of the Earth, according to the information that I got from this European Astronomy Institute. So what they're saying is that they're implying that you could probably see this alignment better if you happen to be on Mars. And the other thing is, how do you observe something that happens once every 13,000 years? If you look at our recent history, we believed that the Earth was the center of the universe until like the mid-1500s. And we could observe the seasons that cycled once every year, and people still believe that the sun went around the Earth until Copernicus proved otherwise. So the only explanation that works for me about the Mayans is that they had the information because some group of people did have sophisticated technology thousands of years ago that the Mayans based their calendar on. And this information was to help us put the pieces together about our true history, our true origins, and I just discussed this in my ebook, Activating 2012.
Well, I just went to Chichen Itza, and I and I heard a Mayan guide speaking. It could just be his bent on what the Mayans are thinking, but he said that the Mayans think that we're losing our seventh sun in 2012, and there will be a dark period, and we will receive an eighth sun. So I don't know if that's just their I'm lost for words, but maybe it's not the actual sun. Maybe it's the light that you're talking about.
Yeah, I don't see where he would get this, because I receive my information from, you know, from actual astronomy, and often people talk about the information that we get from ancient times is metaphor.
That's what I'm. That's the word I was looking for. Yeah, it could be metaphoric.
And we may be going through a short. I do believe that things are going to get worse here before they get better. But I think that the dark period, according to many channels and also my own feeling, the dark period will not last long. We've been in the dark period the last 13,000 years.
It's kind of like coming to a crescendo here.
Yes.
It's just kind of all of a sudden just falling apart, and then maybe the dust particles will just kind of go up in the air, and you'll go, oh, here we are.
Yeah, I don't. I don't predict things, but this is just from what I gather.
Now, you were talking about the lesson that you learned from your husband, and I'm thinking that maybe the universe is teaching us a lot of lessons. Boom, 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 right now. They're all coming up, like Japan, and it's just in the oil leak. I feel like, wow, all these lessons are coming right up to our faces.
Yeah.
We better look at them.
Yes. Yeah, this is, we're experiencing all these crises, because we are to change our directions. And the way that we change our direction is we look for the answers within us, because we've been following the beliefs and the conventions, and we're taught by a small group of elite that basically told us this is the way things are, and now it's time to look within, follow our inner guidance, gain the courage to do that, and this is where we're going to find the solutions to our crises.
Now, if somebody's studying your ebook, is there any way to speed up the process of learning it?
Yeah, absolutely. One can speed up the process of awakening. I know some channels say that you can't, but you can definitely speed up the process of ascension and awakening, because what's stopping people from awakening is usually fear, or they don't know what to do. Many people think there's nothing that they can do except just to, you know, let things happen. But that's not true. When you can understand what's going on, and when you can see the bigger plan that's operating, you won't be so afraid, and it'll help you build up the courage to follow your inner guidance. So, in my opinion, following your own inner guidance And feeling confident in that connection is what causes your awakening and ascension. So it's absolutely necessary to try to understand what's going on and to see how someone else did it and what the experience was like for them. It'll help your own process.
Have you gotten any feedback from the people that are following your articles and have read your ebook?
Yes. I get questions and I get feedback from people all the time, and from people who have said that they were able to see some, you know, have their dreams actually to get connected so that their dreams are actually helping them. They're relevant and they're helping them in their current life. And yes, I receive quite a bit of positive feedback.
So do you, in your book, do you talk about dreams?
Yes. In my memoir, I have a number of dreams that I share in detail because dreams are one way that your higher self uses to guide you. And before I started to really actively try to reconnect with my higher self, my dreams, I wouldn't really remember my dreams, or I'd only remember the last part of it, and they were confusing. But once you gain a clearer, more deeper relationship with your higher self, your dreams become clearer and easier to interpret. That's how I found it, and found the experience. And also you could remember them so that I could, like, remember a lot of details. And the details really helped. They were relevant to what was going on in my life at the time. And they helped give me the courage to move forward, to continue. They were very helpful.
When you wrote your book, What Everyone Believed, a Memoir of Intuition and Awakening, when you did that book, what was the most exciting part in that book to you that you were doing? Or maybe a surprise that you didn't anticipate?
It was really exciting when my writing really started to flow. What would happen is I would go on a hike. I'd always take my pen and paper with me because when I was doing my hike, I would take an hour hike in the hills here, in the Los Gatos Hills. And I had insights come to me all the time, and I would write them down. And I would go home, and that's what I needed to write about. Those were like, this goes here. And sometimes my insight would tell me, like, oh, put this here, put this or put that there. And that was really amazing because it was like what was exciting is to have your book almost write itself. I say almost because I still had to make the effort to sit down to write things that were painful. But once I committed to doing that, there was a lot more flow. It was like the universe was cooperating. My higher self was telling me to go here, and then I would see that, and then I could write about that. And that was amazing. And that's what helped me do this in spite of negative feedback.
Yeah.
Well, it sounded to me like maybe writing your book was a healing process for you also.
It was. It was a complete healing experience for myself. I mean, I did it for myself, but also it was to help. By doing that, I could help others.
It's almost like a journal that you've published.
Mm-hmm.
Now, a lot of people are, you know, really in hard times, like they're losing their house, their job, and feeling like they're next to being homeless. Can your process help these people that are in so much fear?
Absolutely. I feel, like I already said, that the crises that we are in right now, they're here to teach us some important lessons and to help us discover our gift, the gift that we are to contribute that will help us get out of our crisis, and as well as what bring us whatever we need, whether it's money to pay our bills, whatever. In fact, the crises and the fears are catalysts that will help you discover your unique contribution. And it's right now it appears that we're losing things. We're losing jobs. People are losing jobs, their homes, relationships. But it's only temporary, and we will gain, I believe, that we will gain a lot more back eventually. And this is also what the Council of Light had stressed back when they spoke to me through Flowavia in the early 2000s, that, no, you're not going to lose anything. You're not losing anything. You will gain a lot more.
So some people call this the golden age that's coming. Do you think it's going to finally begin soon?
I feel that the next few months will get harder before they get easier. And I feel the golden age may begin near the end of 2012. However, you can create your own golden age in your own home and in your own community right now by beginning the process, like, for real right now. And it will take a lot of people creating these golden ages in their own homes and in their own communities to create the bigger golden age for humanity. So, I can't say exactly when, but this is a lot of channels are saying near the end of 2012 is when things will get easier.
Well, it's certainly a time for people to come together as communities, smaller communities. We can see this happening to help each other through all of this.
Yeah, we certainly can. And that's why I have the resources that I have, my two books, and I have, like, right now I think it's about 108 articles that people can access for free. They can go to my website and look under articles, and they will be directed to where they can read my articles. And I have the free report it's a summary. It's not, doesn't give you the details, but it's a summary of how to reconnect to your higher self. And then, you know, I have the two books that people can look into detail.
Now, your website, again, so that everybody knows, it's called WhatEveryoneBelieved.com. So, again,
yes.
WhatEveryoneBelieved, and that's with a past tense, Believed.com.
Yes.
And your books, two books, the first one is What Everyone Believed, a memoir of intuition and awakening, and that's a hardcover book, and you can get it at Amazon.
Yes.
Or can you get it from your website too, Christine?
Yes. People can go to my website and look under, I believe it's products, and they'll see both my ebook and then my hardcover book, and they just press a button and they'll be directed to Amazon.
Okay, great. And we
want everybody to know who we're talking to. It's Christine Hoflick. Am I pronouncing your last name correctly?
Yes, it's in German. It's Hoflich, and I learned some German too. I lived in Germany for about 2.5 years. In fact, I had worked at one of the universities there in the Department of Physics, and so I had I pronounce my name Hoefle.
And that's spelled H-O-E-F-L-I-C-H.
Yes.
So if you're looking for her book, you'll know it's Christine Hoflich.
Yes.
And your second book is called Activating. Actually, it's your ebook. It's called Activating 2012, A Practical Guide for Navigating 2012 with Confidence and Clarity. You know, it's really pretty special of what you've put together, and it's a great way for a person to have a handhold and as they go up their journey. And boy, you've expressed some of your journey very well today. Thank you for sharing all that you have.
Now, thank you so much.
Can people
thank you
blog
so much for having
you.
Me.
Can people blog on your website?
No, I don't. I'm not set up as a blog, but people can email me through my website. And what I usually do is whenever someone has, and I will, right now, I don't get so many that I can't answer the people's questions. And what I usually do is I take their question and I create it into a new article. So I might not answer everybody's question individually, but I do it for, I create a new article out of it.
What a wonderful idea.
Yeah, I was going to say, with one person having that question, you know others do as well. That's so good.
Yes, I find that the people, the real questions that people, I get from people, usually many other people are waiting to get that question answered as well.
Well, thank you, Christine, for being with us. It's just been wonderful. And we've been talking with Christine Hoflick. And Paula, is there anything else you want to add?
No, just thank you. And you're going to find people just coming to your website like crazy. I feel that. So keep up
thank
the good
you.
Work.
I hope so. I hope they will find a lot of information that they can use right away.
Well, thank you so much for being with us, and enjoy the rest of the beautiful day.
Thank you. Thank you. It's beautiful here.
Yes. We will be talking.
It was a pleasure.
Thank you. That was Christine Hoflick. And yesterday,